Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Pei Hei, and we will begin on Daf Pei Hei, Amar Aleph, at the fourth line. The Mishnah had discussed tzar, and how we evaluate how much to pay for tzar. The Mishnah says, Oindim, Kamma Odom Roitza Lito, how much a person would be willing to accept to take such pain. Achloikus Rishonim, when we speak about tsar, is tsar evaluated for the moment that the injury was done, or is the payment of tsar for the entire duration that the person is suffering tsar for, because of the injury that was done from him to him? From our Gemara, it seems that the tsar is evaluated just for the moment of the actual injury. Ask the Gemara, Tsar b'makom nezek heichis sheminin. Our Mishnah discussed a case where somebody's finger was burnt, he was hit with a nail, and we evaluate the tsar. But in the two cases that our Mishnah mentioned, there was no nezek, there was only tsar. A burn, a wound of the type mentioned in the Mishnah, are not situations that are permanent. Our Gemara, however, wants to know, if there was nezek, if there was permanent damage done to the victim, so the mazik already has to pay nezek. And therefore the Gemara's question is, shouldn't the nezek payment cover the tsar payment, and therefore there should be no tsar payment, or how can we evaluate a tsar payment? So the Gemara answers with an ambiguous statement by Avuah d'Shmuel. Amar Avuah d'Shmuel, what it means is, Oindem kama adam roitz lita l'ktoya lo yad, yadai. How much a person would agree to have his hand cut off? Ask the Gemara, that really doesn't answer our question. Because l'ktoya lo yadai, if it's referring to a situation that his hand is going to be severed, l'tzar l'chudehu, again, we're not referring to a situation where there is only tzar. Ha'kula chamish dvar mika. Certainly it's a situation that there's also nezek tzar ripu in sheves, boishes. And what's relevant to our question is, there's certainly a situation of nezek. And the Gemara's question was, how do we evaluate tsar? What are we talking about, just the hand? Says the Gemara, void. Furthermore, the difficulty with this teretz is b'shaftani skinim. Is there anybody going to agree, Rachmana Litzlan, to have his hand cut off, that there's a way to make such an evaluation? Says the Gemara, what he meant to say was, l'ktoya yodei haktua. A person's hand is already as good as cut off. The tendons are smashed, so there's really no use of his hand, but it's still attached, and that's how much would a person be agreeable to pay to have his hand disconnected. Ask the Gemara, yada ktua nami, even if the hand is in a useless situation, hatzar ubay loitzar l'chudayika. Again, it's not just a situation of tsar, because there's also boishes. Because certainly, ksif le-milsa, the person is embarrassed, le-mishkum ipsar le-mishda le-klovim, that part of his body, his hand should be cut off to be thrown to the dogs. And in fact, the Shvas Yaakov, based on this Gemara, paskins, that a person, that from here we see, that if somebody's, if a limb of a person was amputated, the halacha would be, you're allowed to, you don't have to bury it, because our Gemara says it just is thrown to the dogs. And in fact, Rosh Hashanah says, from here we can see that even though normally a mace is osur b'hanor, here there is no isur hanor from the limb. However, the halacha is that if Rachmana Litzlan, a limb of someone is amputated, the halacha is that he should bury it, particularly as the Pesukim say, because an aver that's amputated from a person is metama. So if a person will have in his home such a limb, and a kohen enters the home, the kohen will become tame, and therefore the halacha is that it should be buried. So we're back to where we started. How do we evaluate the tzar? Says the Gemara, El oim nukanam adam ritz litoil, lichtoy yoda mukta l'malchus. The person was sentenced that his hand should be amputated, and how much would he be willing to pay? Bein sam l'sayif. The difference that it should be done through drinking some sort of a medicine versus having it cut off. And that is the scenario where he's already been sentenced. How much would he be willing to underpay then to undergo a painful amputation versus a non-painful amputation? Says the Gemara, Amri, Hochinami lo shokol mitzar nafshe. Even if the person, Rachman Slan, was sentenced, he certainly would not be agreeable to pay to have a more painful punishment. So how do we understand, and how do we make such an evaluation? Says the Gemara, El oim nekama adam ritza litain liktoya lo yodoy hamukhtar lamalchus mitzayif lusam. Which means as follows. The person has been sentenced to have his hand amputated, and they sent an individual to have the hand, Rachman Shlan, to be cut off by a sword. But there is a possibility for this person to pay this executor that instead of using the Saif, he should use Sam. The amount that a person would be willing to pay this executor to pay Saif, to do Sam, instead of Saif, is the value of the Tsar. And as the Mefarshim point out, the way we have to understand the Gemara, says the Rishash, is that there is no pain involved in Sam, and there is obviously pain involved in Saif. So identifying that payment, the differential, is the payment of Tsar. For if there were also a payment, if there were also pain by Sam, it would be hard to make this determination because he still deserves payment in the situation where Sam was used for the pain that Sam causes. Ask the Gemara, if that's pshat in the Mishnah, then hai litoil, let's look at the word in Mishnah. The Mishnah says, how much a person will be willing to take? It's not how much he'd be willing to take. What it should be is, how much the person would be willing to give to avoid the damage. What's the lashon of litoil? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua. The way to understand the Mishnah, litoil mizeh, mashenasen zeh. What Mishnah means is that the nizik has a right to demand from the mazik the amount of money that the person that was getting punished would have to pay the executor to agree to give him the amputation of his hand, b'sam, rather than b'saif. We learned in the Mishnah, ripui, if he was sick, he called chayver paisai. And actually, Tosfos makes an interesting point, that here we're going to learn out of the sugya, that the mazik has to pay the doctor bills, but Tosfos says that the discussion we're going to have is if there wasn't an assessment at the beginning how much the medical bills will be. For if there's going to be an assessment how much the medical bills will be, and the mazik pays that amount, then no matter what happens afterwards, the mazik has fulfilled his obligation. Actually, if we look at Tosfos at first glance, we discussed earlier in the parak, at the beginning of the parak, the question that Rabbi Chanan poses: how do we view the payment of ripui? Do we view the payment of ripui as mammon, a compensation, or do we view it as a obligation for the mazik to see that the nizik be healed? If we look at it, which as Rabbi Chanan says, and Rabbi Moshe actually says so in the Dibros Moshe also, that we look at it as it's the mazik's obligation to make sure that the nizik is healed, then it should not be the halacha, it seems, that if they make an upfront assessment, that's what he pays no matter what. In fact, I saw that the Paiskim discuss that this question is very relevant l'halacha l'maisa nowadays, where most people have health insurance, and the question is, does the mazik have to pay the full cost of healing the patient? Or he could say, you have health coverage, and the health insurance is going to be paying for the doctor's hospitalization, whatever, and I should not have to pay. If we say that it's mammon, so it makes no difference that the patient has health coverage. If, on the other hand, it's the obligation of the mazik to make sure that the nizik gets well, and if the nizik has health coverage, then that should be enough. And if we're saying that most paiskim say it's only the obligation of the mazik to see that the nizik be healed, then indeed the halacha should be that he could tell him, your health insurance should pay your bills, and he would only have to pay what is the differential. In fact, the paiskim go on to discuss, we know that in many health insurance plans there are in-network doctors and out-of-network doctors. And the in-network doctors, the patient doesn't have to pay, or he has to pay very little. And the out-of-network doctors, he has to pay much more. And here the patient says, I want to use an out-of-network doctor, and you, the mazik, will have to pay for it. What is the halacha? So the paiskim say, we have to look at this patient. If this patient is indeed an individual who, when he's faced with a medical issue, he will not limit himself to use only in-network doctors, so the halacha is that he could force the mazik to pay. But if this is a patient that always uses only in-network doctors, but now when he has a mazik that he could make a claim to, now he decides to use an out-of-network doctor, perhaps he has no such right. So Ripui, as we go back to the Gemara, Hiko, if somebody was mazik somebody else, Chayiv l'paisoi, he has to pay the doctor bills. Tan Rabbanan, all about smacha makas maka. If sores developed on the victim because of the maka, the nistra maka, or if the maka healed and then came back, Chayiv l'paisoi, the mazik has to pay for the doctor bills for the sores, V'chayiv litin lo demei shifta, and he also has to pay him sheves. Shloi machos maka, if they did not develop because they're maka, is the halacha ena chayiv l'paisoi, he doesn't have to pay ripui, v'ena chayiv litin lo demei shifta, nor does he have to pay sheves. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. In other words, according to Tanakama, ripui and sheves, you always pay ripui and you always pay sheves. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af machmas maka, if the sores developed because of the maka, chayiv l'paisoi, ripui he has to pay, for ain't a chayiv litan lay demei shifter, but he doesn't have to pay sheves. The chamayimrim shifter refuasai, they travel together. Kosh chayiv sheves chayiv ripui, if chayiv and sheves he's chayiv and ripui, for she ain't a chayiv sheves ain't a chayiv ripui. If he's not chayiv and sheves, he's not chayiv and ripui. Ask the Gemara. So we have a three-way machloikus. Tanakama holds he chayiv for both. Yehuda says he only chayiv for ripui and not for sheves, and the chacham hold he's not chayiv for either. Ask the Gemara b'may kamilchi, what is the basis of the machlokes? Amar Rabba, ashkechtinu l'rabbanan be'rav t'yasi v'kamri, I met the Talmidim sitting in the yeshiva and Rav that said, hocha b'mako nitna l'egit kamilchi. The machlokes here is, does a patient have a right to bandage his wound? That, on one hand, it causes him comfort to have the wound bandaged, but on the other hand, it causes sores to develop. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold, Maka Nitin Lagid, the patient certainly has that right, and the wound and the covering, the bandage, is because of the mazik, and therefore the halacha is that the mazik has to pay for the ripui and shevis that were caused because of the bandaging. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds Maka Loi Nitin Lagid. The patient had no right to put on that bandage. However, ripui, the Tana Bekra, ripui, where the Torah repeats the word ripui, the Torah says, verapai, yerapai, mechayiv that the mazik has to pay for shevis, the loy tana bekro, shevis, where the Torah doesn't repeat the wording, loy mechayiv, the mazik would not have to pay for. V'minolon, that's how they explained the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. V'minolon no, and said Rava, I said to them, imakan loy nitnan le'egid, if there is no right, if the patient doesn't have a right to cover his wound, ripui namilei mechayiv, then he shouldn't have to pay, then the mazik shouldn't have to pay ripui either. El de kula alma, says Rava, everybody agrees matka nitnan le'egid. Certainly a patient has a right to bandage his wound. And whatever happens because of that bandaging, the mazik has to pay for. However, v'loy nitnan le'egid yaseira, the machlokes is, are you allowed to put on extra bandages? Extra bandages can mean either cover a larger area than the wound itself, or to put on more bandages on the actual wound, which puts pressure and doesn't let air get to the wound. Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Kivin de Leinitin Le'egid Yisera, since that the patient didn't have a right to do, so therefore, ripui, the Tana Bakra, the word ripui that the Torah repeats, mechayiv, the mazik still has to pay, shevis, the loy Tana Bakra, however, shevis, which the Torah doesn't repeat that word, loy mechayiv, the mazik doesn't have to pay. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan, the Tanakam, however, holds, kivin the Tana Bakra ripui, since ripui, the mazik is chayiv to pay, as shevis, nami mechayiv, so the mazik will have to pay for shevis. Also, the iskish l'ripui, they travel together. If you chayiv for ripui, they're also chayiv for shevis. Rabbi Yehuda Sever, Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand holds shevis l'mechayiv, that he's not chayiv to pay shevis when he put on extra bandage, which the mazik could say you caused yourself this extra sores. Rabbanan, what will the Tanakh come? The matter rechman rak. The Torah says the words rak shifta yitain, only the regular care. If he caused this situation, he doesn't have to pay it. Rabbanan, what did Rabbanan hold? Rabbanan hold that the Rabbanan said that not only is ripui paid under these circumstances, but even shevis. What will the Rabbanan do with the word rak? Rak l'shloi makas hamakudasa. It's come to teach us that if the shevis not because of the makah, their aloch is that he doesn't have to pay it. And the Gemara Mitzvashem soon will explain why would we think that you have to pay shevis in such a circumstance. Urabonim basroi. Now continues the Gemara. According to the last opinion of the Rabbanim, Damri, that they say kol shechayv b'shevis chayv b'ripui. They say shevis and ripui travel together. And if you chayv shevis, you chayv ripui. For kol she'en chayv b'shevis, en chayv b'ripui. Ripui, the Tana by Kral Amali. Why did the Torah repeat the word ripui? Answers the Gemara, Mbala Chatana Beir Vishmal. We need it for what Rabbi Shmuel taught us, the Tanya the Beir Vishmal Omer, Virape Yirape, Bikanshanit Rishus Leroy Filarapis. A doctor has the right to heal a patient. And there are many Pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand the Gemara. What the Rishonim are obviously also troubled with is the word Virape Yirape. Why does the Torah have to repeat the word Virape Yirape? So Rashi says, what the Gemara is teaching us is that we would think that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that caused this individual to become sick, then we have no right to interfere in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. That's why the Torah teaches us for Rape Yirape, that the doctor should heal a patient, even though it's obviously from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the patient became sick. In fact, Tosfos goes on to say, that's why we need the words virapo yirape, to teach us that it doesn't make a difference if it's a wound that was made by people or it was a wound that was made by, it was a man-made wound or it was a wound that formed by the person by himself. Devin Ezra says we need virapo yirape to teach us that both an external wound and an internal wound should be healed, doctors should heal. We would think perhaps an internal wound, which is not really visible, doesn't have to be healed. Teaches us both types of wounds should be healed. The Ramban has a very interesting approach to this entire Gemara. And the Ramban's approach is that actually someone who's sick, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who made him sick, and therefore he should really not go to the doctor. And the Ramban says somebody of the proper level should just daven and do tshuva if he gets sick, not go to the doctor. But the Pasuk is teaching us, so if that's perhaps a proper approach that should be taken, if somebody gets wounded, perhaps the mazik should be able to tell the nizik, you should be about madrega, you shouldn't go to the doctor. Teaches us the Torah that since most people go to the doctor, the patient has a right to, the victim has a right to demand from the mazik to pay for his doctor bills. The Pais can point out, the Ramban himself actually speaking to Bali Madrega, people with high level of betochen. In fact, that's what the Brikki Yosef says, that today all sick people should, if their chas v'sham become sick, they have to seek medical treatment. There is no exception. Even, especially we know that even great tzaddikim went to doctors, and everybody today is treated by doctors. It's forbidden for anybody to say, I'm going to rely on Hashem. The Ramban goes on to say, says the Ramban, what it means is that the doctor should say, cannot say, here we're discussing that a person should take the, should rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a doctor maybe should say, I will not treat the person. The person should be relying on Hashem. Teaches us the Pasuk. Perhaps indeed the person should rely on Hashem. Of Mekan Shenitna, Rishus L'Rai Filarapois, that doesn't exempt the doctor from doing whatever he can and to help and save the patient. The Panim Yafois has a different way of explaining the Gemara, the Pasuk of Rapi Rapi, that a doctor is entitled to be paid for the services he renders in treating a patient. Another pshat that I saw of Rapi Yerapi from Chaim Oizer and Achiezer is Rapi Yerapi is that the Pasuk is trying to differentiate between the refuah that a doctor causes versus the refuah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings to us. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings to us Kani Hashem Roifecha, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings a refuah to the person, it's a complete refuah. However, doctors, given that they're only human beings, certain times their refuahs aren't complete, certain times their treatments actually cause that other treatment should have to be administered. Ramosha, based on this Gemara, that says that our Gemara teaches us Mikan Shenitna Rishus L'Roife L'Rapois, special dispensation must be given in order that a doctor should administer his services, says Rav Moshe. From here he paskens a shaila. Let's say there's a person who has difficulty in fasting, and it's Erev Yom Kippur, and he knows he's going to have a problem fasting in Yom Kippur. However, he could take treatments, some intravenous treatments that will cause that he should be able to fast. Should he do it or not? Says Rav Moshe, he certainly should not take those kind of treatments. Because Rav Moshe suggests that our Gemara is teaching us that you need a special rishus, you need a special dispensation to receive medical treatment. And in any other circumstance, he certainly should not, and therefore, since today he doesn't have to fast, he should not take medical treatments. We'll just end with a vart from the Lubavitch Rebbe, we'll end this piece. Lubavitch Rebbe says, V'rapi, rapi, mikan shenitin rishus l'roi fil rapis. Says Lubavitch Rebbe, what the Gemara means to say is that a doctor has only a right, l'rapis, to heal. But a doctor has no right to say that a patient is hopeless, that there's nothing that can be done for the patient. Mikan shenitin rishus l'roi fil. You know what rishus l'roi fil has? It's only l'rapis, but not anything else. Tana Rabban. So we learn in a braisa, Menayim Shem Olba Tzmocha Makam Samaka, that if sores developed because of the wound, V'nistra Maka, or if the wound healed and then came back, Shechayv L'Rapoisoi, that the mazik has to pay for the ribui. V'chayiv litlon shiftoi, we have to pay for sheves. Tamaloima rak shiftoi yitain v'rapa yirapa. Yochal afilu shloim achsmaka, that even if this didn't happen because of the wound, tamaloima rak. Rabbi Yosef Yehudaimer af machas amaka potter. Even if they develop because of the maka, the mazik is not chayiv. Shenema rak, because the Torah uses the word rak, and therefore he's not chayiv. Now the Gemara debates how to understand Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Ikadamri, af machma samaka potter, that even if these sores develop because of maka, the mazik is potter lagamri. He's not chayiv, not for nezek, for sheves, nor for ripui. Because he, according to this opinion, Krabbanan Basroi, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda agrees with Rabbanan that say if you don't pay sheves, you don't pay ripui, because they travel together. Vikadamri, af machma samaka potter, when it says here that the sores develop because of the maka, his potter, it's only mishevis, but he's chayiv and ripui, because kaman kavua, according to this, Rabbi Yosef will agree with his father, Rabbi Yehuda, that ripui is paid much more than sheves, because the Torah says, v'rapi yirapi. Omamar. So we learned in the Braisa, yochal afilu shloi macham samaka, that even if the sores developed not because of the maka, still, I would think that the mazik should have to pay tamaloimer rak. Ask the Gemara, shloi machma samaka by kra, is a pasuk necessary to teach us that in a situation where the wounds were because of what the mazik did, he should have to pay? Amri, so the answer, my shloi machma samaka, what does it mean shloi machma samaka? Kiritanya. Haresha avra divrei roifei. Let's say the patient didn't follow the doctor's instructions. V'achol d'vash kol minei masika. He ate honey or other sweet things. B'nei shedvash v'kol minei masika kashlamaka, which are detrimental to the wound. And because he ate what he wasn't supposed to eat, v'hala maka gersuni, and therefore the maka formed gersuni, we'll see that in a minute what it means. Yochli yachayv v'rapoysoi. I would think that perhaps the makzik should have to pay for that. Tamaloi merak. So the question that the Mefarshim ask is, why would I have a havamina that the mazik should have to pay? So the Taisus Yontav explains that the patient perhaps should be able to say to the mazik, I want to be able to eat candy and honey. The only reason I can't eat these sweet things is because of what you did to me. Therefore, you should have to pay for it. That the patient has the obligation to follow the doctor's instructions, and if he doesn't follow the doctor's instructions, it's his responsibility. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that we would think that perhaps it's quite normal that a patient doesn't listen to a doctor's instructions, and therefore it should not be considered a pshia when the patient doesn't follow orders. Teaches us the pasuk. That isn't an excuse. And every patient is certainly obligated to follow the doctor's instructions. My Gugusuni, what does Gugusuni mean? Amrabaya, nos krichsa, dead flesh. My Asuse, what is the cure for that? It says the Gemara, alo vakir vakilba, take aloe, wax, and resin that's found in wine barrels and smear it on the affected area. The Amalei, continues the Gemara. If the mazik tells the nizik, Ashikhano, I will heal you. Amalei, Domasalai Ka'arya Arva. The nizik could tell the mazik, you're to me like a lion. I certainly will not accept payment. I certainly will not accept from you healing. You're the one that got me into this trouble. In fact, I saw a very interesting shaila that was posed to Rabbi Yosef. There was a patient that went to the doctor for treatment, and the doctor, as he was doing his treatment, actually wounded the patient. He caused his intestine to rupture, and after being in the hospital, after being not well for a while, the patient, Baruch Hashem, is now better, but he needs to have surgery, and the hospital is saying that the best doctor to do the surgery is this doctor that caused this whole situation. And the patient says, this is the doctor that got me into trouble in the first place. I certainly don't want to use him as
my doctor, as our Gemara says, he's like Gdome, like Arya Arva. But the hospital insists that that doctor treat this patient. What is the halacha?
So Rabbi Yosha paskened that it depends. If what happened was an oinus, then that doctor should do the surgery. If, however, it was because of negligence, even if he's considered the best doctor, the patient has a right to say, him I don't want to treat me. Vim Amalek, if the mazik tells the nizik, my sina asya the mogim amogim, I have a doc that's willing to treat you for no fee. Amalek, asya the mogim amogim, a doctor that's willing to treat me for no fee, mogim shavya is worth nothing. And therefore, I don't want to accept treatment from him. And this is a fact I saw. The Paiskim say that from here we see that the halacha is that, let's say a doctor, Rachman Tzlon, is sitting shiva, and there's a patient that needs his treatment. We're not going to say the doctor actually has to get up from the shiva to treat him, but it's a situation where the doctor has to be consulted. We know that during shiva, a person who's Rachman Tzlon sitting shiva is not supposed to earn money. So here the doctor, is the doctor, should the doctor get paid? Is he allowed to get paid for the diagnosis or for the consultation he does while he's sitting shiva? And the Shvus Yaakov says, based on our Gemara, Asya b'mogim b'mogim shavya, that a doctor that doesn't get paid is worthless, and therefore the doctor should get paid. And I saw along the same line that if somebody doesn't have somebody who could say Kaddish on his behalf, or if the Oval is traveling and it's impossible for him to say Kaddish, and he hires someone to say the Kaddish, he should specifically pay that individual, because without payment, it's really not worthwhile. In fact, the Divrei Malkiel uses this Gemara to discuss a situation where there was a person who was hired to be the Rav of a congregation, of a community, and Baruch Shem, he was an individual that didn't need and didn't want to take a salary, and the community insisted that he get paid. Al Gemara says Asya b'magim b'magim shavya, and in fact it could be that he has to accept payment even if he doesn't want to. V'oma, furthermore, if the mazik tells the nizik, my sinalach asya rechika, I'm going to bring a doctor from far away for you, omelay Asya Rechika Eina Avira. A doctor from far away can blind an eye. What does that mean? A number of pshatim. The Rashi explains, since this doctor is going to go back to where he is, he doesn't give the proper attention to the patient. Another pshat is that a doctor is concerned about his reputation. So if he's going to remain here, he's going to make sure that his patient get the proper treatment, that his reputation not be harmed. But if he's anyway going away, he's not that concerned about his reputation. Another pshat that I saw is that he says, I'm bringing you a doctor from somewhere else, and this doctor that I'm bringing you is a doctor that has a great reputation. But since he's not from here, so he can't really verify this individual's reputation. So just because the mazik's saying that he's a great doctor, the nizik could say, I don't accept that. And if the victim said to the mazik, you give me my money, you give me the value of the doctor bill, and I'll take care of myself, you're going to be negligent, and you're going to take more money than you deserve. So we'll make up a certain amount. You won't take care properly. You'll want to pocket some of that money, and therefore you won't get the treatment that you're supposed to. For Carly Sharamazik, and I will be called a Sharamazik because I damaged you and I didn't make sure that you should be completely healed. Here again, Remoshin, the Dibris Moshe, clearly seems to show us that this Gemara is again a proof that it's the obligation of the Mazik to make sure that the patient gets healed. It's not just a situation where he could tell him that I'm giving you payment. He has to see that he be healed. Dorach HaShulchan discusses what is the din if the patient wants to use a certain doctor who may be more expensive or more well known, and the Mazik says you don't have to use that doctor. The Aruch HaShulchan, again, similar to what we said earlier, says that if it's common that for such a situation this greater doctor is used, he has every right to demand that that be the doctor that treat him. Tana. V'kula mishtalmim b'mokim nezek. The halacha is that nezek, tzar, ripu, shevis, and boishis, they're all paid. Even when there's a payment for nezek, you also have to pay ripu, shevis, and boishis. Menani mili. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know this halacha? Amar evzvid mishmei derava. Amar kra. The pasuk says, petza tachas petza. Litein tzar b'mokim nezek. That even though it was nezek, you also have to pay tzar. And as Rishonim explained, once we've identified that you have to pay tsar, even though he's getting nezek, the same will be for sheves and ripui and boishes. Ask the Gemara, haimi boile, but don't we need this pasuk to teach us the rabbis shogi kmezit, that if somebody damages someone else, whether it's b'shogi or whether it's mezit, oinus or karotzen, he has to pay for the chavala. Although we did learn earlier in our Masechta, a machloikus rishonim, what will be the din by oinus gomer, a complete oinus? Is there still an obligation or not? So don't we need the pasuk for that purpose? Answers the Gemara, im kain, if that's all the pasuk was coming to teach us, nichtav kra petza bipetza. My petza, tachas petza. What does the Torah use the word petza, tachas petza? Shmam natati, to teach us both halachas. That Yechayiv oynis korots and shogi kemezid, and to teach us that even though he's getting paid for nezek, the other payments must also be made. Rapapa mishmei derava amar virapi rapi. The Torah says the words virapi rapi to teach us litain refuah b'makom nezek, that even though nezek was paid, you still have to pay ripui. Ask the Gemara. But didn't we say earlier in our shir, "Hi, mi barley lechad tana de beir Yishmol, the tana de beir Yishmol, v'rape yirape, mikan shnetan reshus l'roifei l'rapeis"? So how can we say that pasuk is coming to teach us the din that all payments have to be made, even when nezek is paid? Answers the Gemara, "Im kain nichtav kra v'roifei yirape." It would be enough if the Torah says v'roifei yirape. What shmami no? What does the Torah say v'rape yirape? Litin refuah b'makom nezek. Ask the Gemara, we needed to teach us to teach us that he has to be get that the patient gets paid for sores, for all sores that developed because of the wound. Answers the Gemara, im kain lemakra oy rapa rapa oy rape yirape my verapa yirape shmamina liten refubim makam nezek. The Torah has come to teach us all these dinim. The fact that the Torah repeats the world, we learn that the masik has to pay for sores that develop because of the wound, and since the same words are not used, we learn that even though nezek was paid, you still have to pay ripui. So we have identified two psukim that teaches us that even though nezek is paid, the masik still has to pay tsar, ripui, shevis, and boishes. Mechlal, the meshkachas lushloi b'makom nezek. It obviously, from the Gemara's havamina, where the Gemara thought that in a situation where there is nezek, you don't have to pay the other damages. It's obvious that there's a case that the other damages, so where would the case of the other damages be? Where there was no nezek. Ask the Gemara, how do we have such a circumstance that they have tsar, ripui, shevis, spacious, but no nezek? Michlal, says the Gemara, the mishkach slushloi b'makom nezek, that it would be possible to have this without a payment of nezek. Ask the Gemara, shloi b'makom nezek, heichem mishkach slo, what are such circumstances? Answers the Gemara, tsar, kiriktani, the case of tsar is the case that we learned in the Mishnah. Tsar, kover b'shvura b'masmer, if he burnt them with something hot, or he injured him with a nail, the nefilah tzaparna on his fingernail, makom she'enoy sechabura, there isn't permanent damage, but there certainly is tsar. There certainly is pain. Ripui, Dav Kav Le Midi Vesolik, is referring to a situation where something was hurting a person and it was healing. Vais Le Sami Harifa, and the Mazik brought him a very sharp ointment. Va'achvei Le Bisrei, and it caused that his flesh should become bleached. It affected the color of his skin. The tzarach l'suve le'sama lankute gavna de bisri. He now has to bring him a sort of a medicine to restore the color of his skin. Sheves tahatke ben juna. It's referring where he locked him in a room. Obatle, and because of that, he can't go to work. So there isn't permanent damage, but he prevented him from going to work. The Rishonim make two observations. That the only time that there's a chiyuv for nezek is if the mazik pushed this individual into the room and locked the door, preventing him from getting out. However, the Rosh wants to suggest that if he was already in the room and all the mazik did was close the door, so it's only considered a grama ben zokim, and since it's a grama ben zokim, he doesn't have to pay mazik b'day odom. They also discuss what would be the din if the person that was locked in the room is a person that doesn't have a job or doesn't work anyway, would there be a chiv to pay him? Boishes, the rokle ba'ape, somebody who spit in his face. So again, there is no nezek, there is no permanent damage, but certainly there is humiliation. Sheves, we learned in the Mishnah, Sheves roinayse kilu shamik shuim. We look at the victim as if he were a watchman of a cucumber field. Tanabonin, Sheves, Rhinos, like Kulushamik Shuin, Vim Taima, Lexa Hadin, Lexa Midas Hadin. And the Brisa itself asks, perhaps by having such a situation, we think that it's not fear. Asking him, what does that mean? The Himaskra Kai Gavra, because when the person gets up, Lav Agra the Shemishkun Mishakal, he will not be able to, he won't take the wages, the low wages of just being a shemek shuim. El dole davlo v'shakal agra. He'll draw water from wells and take higher wages. Inami, ozlo b'shliach v'shakal agra. He'll be able to be a messenger. So, that continues to come back to the braisa. Midas adin lo loksa, shekfan nosin lo demei, yirada demei ragloi. Rava. So the Gemara explains what this means. Kotis yodoi, if a mazik cut off the hand of the nizik, he has to pay for that. Visheves, regarding unemployment, we have to view him as if he was a guard watching cucumbers, and he has to get the unemployment payments for not being able to do that. Shibris ragloi, nicely demay ragloi. Visheves, when it comes to Sheves, since he has now an injury of having a broken foot, so he can't even be a cucumber watchman, because he has to, that job involves him walking around the garden. But he can be a doorkeeper, because a doorkeeper stands in one place. Simus Enoi, now if he makes him blind, Rechman and Slan, Nois Loidemei Enoi. He has to pay in the value of his eye, the Sheves. And again, he has to pay the Sheves. Because we look at him as if he only can now, the only thing he could do is grind by a millstone, because a blind person can't be a watchman, any type of watchman. What does it mean, matchina b'rechayim? Some say that a blind person himself could work the millstone. Others say that he can't work the millstone, but he could work in the millstone where there is a millstone. Chirshoy, if he makes him a deaf, most Rishonim say it means a deaf mute, Narsaloi de Mekuloi, because he has no value at all when he becomes a Chirsh. The Rishonim point out, Tysus discusses it, here it seems that a person that is a deaf mute has no value, yet the halach is, regarding Erechin, the Gemara says that a deaf mute does have value. So how do we understand this? So Mefarshim explained there are two types of deaf mute. There's a deaf mute b'day Shmayim, and there's a deaf mute b'day Odom. A deaf mute b'day Shmayim can be healed. A deaf mute b'day Odom is hopeless. Another pshat that I saw is that, and it's interesting, it depends on the deaf mute. There are some deaf mutes that can make a life for themselves. Others are taka halachically considered very sick. The Chavetz Chaim, based on this Gemara, in the Sefer Shmiras HaLoshen, says now we could understand why the Avera of Lashon Hara is considered such a serious Avera. Because he says, we know there are Ramach, Averim, and Chesah Gidim. There are 248 limbs, and there are 365 Gidim. Each of the limbs and each of the Gidim correspond to Mitzvah Saseh and Mitzvah Lo Saseh. Obviously, the limb that corresponds to Lashon Hara is the ear, because it's the ear that hears the Lashon Hara. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if our Gemara just said that a person who's deaf, this is a physical deafness, is considered noisel mekuloi, he's considered worthless, that's on the gashmistig, on the physical perspective. But the same is on the ruchnistig perspective. A person who hears Lashon Hara, so he affects the ruchnius of his mouth and his ear, noisel mekuloi, he has affected himself in such a very serious way. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained, that's why we find that the Torah says that whenever the Ivri, after his term of 6 years is up, so of course the proper thing is that a Jew should not be a slave to someone else. He, however, decides that he wants to remain a slave, inappropriately, but the Torah gives him that option. But what does the Torah says? V'ratza Adonav has ozna b'mratzeya. Why specifically by the ear? Because here we see that the ear is what defines us into being who we are. And this person who acted inappropriately, that wants to remain an Eved, versus being a free person to serve Hashem, where should he get the ear born? Where should that be shown? By the ear. Boy Rava. They cut off the mazik cut the victim's hands. They didn't have a chance to assess. And then he broke his leg, and they didn't have a chance to assess him. And then he blinded him, and they still didn't have a chance to assess him. And then he makes him deaf. Since he wasn't assessed, we'll do one assessment now, and then he'll be paid in one payment. We assess each thing separately. Nafkamina, what's going to be the nafkamina? The boil mesle tsar bishus to chalchad v'chada. Does he have to pay a separate tsar uboishus for every situation? Nay, the nezik ripu v'shevus to chalchad v'chada lo yavinale. We certainly don't have to pay a separate nezik ripu in shevus. The kivin de lo yavale to make kulay. Since when he made him tacherus, he has to pay complete nezik. And the same with the Shevis, the same with the Ripui. Command the Katli Dame. V'yavalei Dame Kule. The question, however, asked the Gemara, it's Tsar Moshes, mi is the Kochad v'chad yav, to havalei Tsar Boshes. So he had a separate Tsar Boshes for every act, and therefore he deserves perhaps a separate payment for each action. V'imtim Tzloimer. And if you'll argue, Kivin de Loyam Dua, since they didn't make this assessment after each injury, Kiyavalei to make kul b'hadei adadi, you pay it all in one time, why would be the halacha if him do a mahu? They did have the opportunity to make the individual assessments. Miyamrin and kivin them dua, since he was assessed after each injury, so now certainly the mazik has to pay it to the nizik, chada chada boy lemesiv lei, or given to loy shalom, since the mazik never paid, yavle de mekule, the mazik pays for the entire value at one time, and he doesn't pay for these previous obligations. And the Gemara remains with the question, would it take him?